Randy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. We were talking about, you know, developing a culture on the team, Randy, and, you know, obviously it's different, I think, in the NHL when it's men, and they likely have to really police the culture. But at your level, does it come from the general manager, from the coach? Who do you feel kind of builds and sets the culture of the Oil Kings?
Well, I think everybody plays a part in it there, Jason, that, you know, how you kind of lead things, and then the culture within the room, obviously the coaching staff, the atmosphere that's set up, or you know, the limits you want in the room, and overall, though, I think it's, you know, from the top to bottom, and everybody has to have a hand in it, and then there's obviously a major influence what goes on in the dressing room itself.
Yeah, Randy. I mean, obviously, we're talking about this Evander Kane situation has come up, and it's a different situation from what we're talking about with in junior. But when it comes gets public like this, clearly there's some things behind the scenes that there's issues there. With your group of players, your style as a general manager, and with the coaches you employ, you know, everybody has a hand in setting boundaries, what's okay, what's not. But in the day-to-day practical handling of it, you have to have a number of guys in that room who are buying into the culture that the bosses want, don't you?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's where I think where your leadership group comes in, and your leadership group is a big part of your dress group. They help set the tone and guide guys and look after guys. And you know, but like I said, it all comes down to your leadership, and they kind of follow from us, and then they kind of relay the message and then set the tone. So it's a whole group effort, but then a lot of emphasis does go on the players and you know, how they lead within the room itself.
Now, how would you describe your style as the general manager of the club, or at least, let's put it this way, the boundaries that are in place? I mean, you played in the Western Hockey League. That was a different era. We all know that. These young men are maybe more mature in some ways now, but you've still got to set boundaries. So are the Edmonton Oil Kings, in your mind, a tight-run ship, or let these young men prove that they're young men worthy of responsibility? What's your sort of philosophical approach to how much is enough?
Well, I think for us, we've kind of kept things, you know, in the same direction we've always been. You know, we started off and we tried to build that culture. And saying that, we try to develop within so you get to know your people, which we feel is important, so we can kind of set our guidelines and our rules. And saying that, you know, a lot falls on to how you implement them and then how the players respond. And saying that, we, you know, we like to try to be respectful and responsible and try to relay that message to the players, and we want them following the same path.
I don't know if you would call this season a transition season per se, but after all the success the Oil Kings have had, where you sit right now, I think it's safe to say, Randy, there's a little bit of a changeover, you know, from players gone and coach and everything else. Overall, how do you feel, you know, the players have adapted to this transition, and you're pretty confident that, you know, the young guys have come in and adapted to that culture, and that by next season, you guys could be right near the top again?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's adapting, you know, from the young players coming in, going through the process of, you know, graduating to our level and playing every day, you know, having a full schedule day-to-day, from getting up, going to school, coming to practice, working out, going to the study hall, and then you know, doing some extra study, and then going to sleep, and then, you know, repeating the same schedule the next day. Along with, you know, our veterans, some of our veterans are taking on, you know, more important roles, you know, more minutes, more heavy minutes, you know, involved in more key conversations. So I think everybody's adapting to it and learning. And I said that's probably the biggest thing for us, is probably the learning curve that everyone's going through this year. And you see it, and that's the exciting part, though, too. You're seeing the growth in everybody in certain levels, which you need to have.
Well, Randy, I mean, it's no surprise there's a cycle in junior hockey, and it's, you know, when you lose players as you do, just by age, if nothing else, I mean, you only get them for a certain amount of time. It seems to me the teams that avoid the real drops in that cycle are the ones where the younger players who come in assume a bigger piece than maybe you thought they might when it comes to responsibility and helping build the club. You expect it from the guys who've already been there, but if the kids who come in can adapt quickly and grab a piece of it, that speeds up the process, doesn't it?
It does, and you know, credit to them for when you have those situations and guys take advantage of opportunities, and then you start to see the growth in their game. But like I said, you also, too, you see the growth of maybe players where they kind of had a middle role for a bit just due to ice time and opportunities, and all of a sudden they get that opportunity and they really take charge. So, like I said, you need everybody coming together, but you need those surprises, or along with those players that maybe you projected will get there, but maybe get there quicker than you thought.
Randy Hanch, general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings, joining us. Randy, this year the playoff format, of course, has changed. You'll go the division similar to the NHL, although it looks like you or Kootenay, one of you, is going to switch over to the Central Division and likely have to go to Brandon, which would be significant more travel than it would be to Medicine Hat. What do you think of that? If it's Edmonton or Kootenay, is it automatically going to be a 2-3-2 format just to cut down on travel?
Well, basically, yeah, we're still in the hunt. We got the Booster and Prince Albert kind of on our tail, so we got to kind of still take care of things of our end, and then obviously, if it's the wild card, if we're one of the wild card teams, then there depends whether you're seventh or eighth. You'll obviously one of the teams will play Brandon, who's having a good year. Another team would be playing Medicine Hat. So a lot of that will come down to probably building availability, whoever Brandon plays and the Hat play, and that will sometimes dictate scheduling too, with scheduling, building availability, and travel. So whoever plays those teams will have to go through that.
So, but is there a rule in place? Like, is it based on distance? Like, is there a cutoff that says if the teams are this far apart, it goes to the 2-3-2 format?
Not right now.
Okay.
A lot will kind of combine with building availability. And sometimes things have to be adjusted to just with what's available with the building, the schedule, and everything, and travel.
Randy, the last several years, obviously, when you're Memorial Cup champions, you know, you get to this part in the season and going down the stretch especially, and it's a matter of, you know, we've talked to in the past about staying sharp, hanging in, staying focused, essentially because you've been in the clear. Maybe you could move a position or two, or you're talking first overall kind of thing, but different year this year and different challenges. You got to be right on the ball every game in and out. Different for this group right now because you've been home and cooled most of the time.
Yeah, no, it's a little different, probably feeling and understanding and where we're at. And saying that, we've kind of had gone through this, you know, throughout the year, so we kind of know where we're at right now, and understand, like you touched on there, that every game is very important because it's 2 points on the line that we need to try to, you know, first secure a playoff spot and then try to secure as high as we can get up there in the standing. So it's a little different that way. You kind of go through a tough part of the schedule where you talk about that. I know like last year where we really kind of faced a lot of that challenge where we had a lot of guys go through, you know, some finals before, and there was a game in Kelowna, I remember, where it just seemed to kind of right then the switch went on and the guys really kicked it in. But for us, the situation right now, we're kind of like that with every game right now to the end of the season. So we got to be ready, and you know, so there's 2 points every game, and they're very valuable.
Give me your evaluation of Edgar Skalda's play.
Well, I think Eddie's finally starting to hit his stride. I think that he had that injury, unfortunately, which set him back some. And when he first came back, he actually kind of came back with had some good energy on the trip. And, but then you see, like when a player gets hurt, you know, partway through the year and then comes back, at, you know, right at the middle part, you know, everybody's going on full cylinders and they're firing, it's just like on full cylinders. And you see at some point it is tough to get back your game and your tempo. And he's starting to get that back now a little bit. And I think it was important the other night he scored and got the monkey off his back there. And just little parts of his game that he's going to have to keep on working on to create those opportunities and then capitalize. But there's so many more parts of Eddie's game that are valuable than just the points. But you try to stress that at times, and it just comes down to work ethic and just getting that step.
Well, I guess the silver lining there, Randy, is that you would assume he can only get better, and you've done okay without him at the top of his game. You know, when I look through your lineup, the challenge to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, I guess you could call it balanced scoring, but you don't have that real dominant offensive player this year. You know, Pollock leads the way and Bauer, but this isn't a lighted up kind of club, is it?
No, it's got to be scoring and contributions by committee. You know, obviously, probably in the previous years we had maybe the one or two players that they could just kind of change the game on a play and a shift. And, you know, I think Brett Pollock's taken some strides offensively there. Where he has that ability with his shot or his playmaking, and Lane Bowers had a really good year where he's taken some really good strides. And, you know, as we touched on, a player that had minimal ice time and opportunity last year, but has taken advantage of it this year and done very well. So, but like you touched on Eddie, you know, Eddie's going to contribute more. You think Matt's going to contribute more. And, you know, and overall by committee, you're going to get that. But you know Eddie's going to hit stride here on a more consistent basis here, and that which we need, but which will help and help down the stretch.
Randy, continued success. Enjoy the playoff run, and I know Oil Kings fans are looking forward to see some playoff hockey again in March.
Oh, appreciate that, Jason. Thanks, guys.